Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the Timothy Hodge Show. Shout out to everybody for listening and tuning in today. I'm waiting for my guest, the one and only Mr. Brian White, who's in a new movie, I Can Do Better By Myself, the Tyler Perry's new movie. Brian White stars in this new movie, and I can't wait for him to call in, you know, to start and discuss with him. In the meantime, I'm going to jump into some music, and I'll be right back. Here's Elliot Yami was I Wait For You, and I'll be right back.
Come back through my door. Ooh, why did you have to go? You could have let me know. So now I'm all alone. Girl, you could have stayed, but you wouldn't give me a chance. With you not around, it's a little bit more than I can stand. Ooh, and all my tears they keep running through my face. Why did you turn away? So why does your pride make you run and hide? Are you that afraid of me? But I know it's a lie, what you keep inside. This is not how you want it to be. So baby, I will wait for you, 'cause I don't know what else I can do. Don't care.
I hate it when it rains. Ever since I came in the game, some hated on the fame. A lot of changed and started acting strange. Even labels turning their backs and started backing claims. Radio is the same. Whole lot of speculating. These motherfuckers defecating on the name. Wu-Tang. If this is where the hip-hop is, radio line.
Hey, Tim, it's Brian White, giving you a call.
Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm all right, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. How you been, man? Well, it's been a while, man, since the last time you were on the show, man. You know, your second appearance. How's everything, man?
It's good. Just getting back from a little road trip. Was in New York for the premiere and Fashion Week and all that good stuff, and then went through, came back through San Antonio, supporting Eva Longoria's Foundation Eva's Heroes, and just landed back in L.A. heading to set on my TV series, so trying to stay busy.
Yeah, no, I'm all with that, man. You know, I heard you were in New York. This is crazy thing is that I couldn't get up with you. I tried to, try to attend some event that you were at, but, you know, they had the station had me down in Atlanta, so I'm like, I missed him. I hadn't met him in person. I interviewed him before, you know, but I had the opportunity to meet you. But I'm sure that will happen, you know, one day. Nevertheless, man, I was reading on your bio again, man. You're, of course, you know, as we stated before, you're part of so many things, you know, organizations, foundations. And you also, I know you were a licensed stockbroker at that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I did after I got hurt with football. I did that for a little while, trying to figure out, you know, what the next move was, because, you know, it's just another way to learn. I'm always about learning, you know, and so learning how, you know, Wall Street works, how money's really made, you know, how investment banks work, what to avoid, and being in this recession, it was very valuable advice because it helped me stay out of trouble. So,
Yeah, I saw that, and he paid for the New York, the Patriots, you know, pretty good team, you know.
Where are you from?
Huh?
Where are you from?
I'm from
New York?
Jersey.
You're from Jersey,
from
so what are you, Jets, Giants?
I'm not really a sports fan at all, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a weird dude. I'm not really a sports guy like that. I'm just entertainment, man. I love everything entertainment. I mean, you can get me to watch sports if it's entertainment involved, like with somebody's performing, you can get me to watch it then. But I just jump on the bandwagon, like who's ever winning got the most this and that, you know, I'm going for that team. You know what I mean? Like that. I'll be convinced, I'm a good sports fan. I don't watch sports at all, really. I'm tech to the finals or the big, you know, Super Bowl or something like that. But, man, you know, what positions you play for the Patriots?
Defensive back, safety.
Okay. And well, what happened? You already said you got hurt. What happened?
Tore my hamstring in half. Yeah, I mean, hamstring is a no-joke injury. You can't really, you know, you got to let it heal right. And obviously, you know, in football, it's not like other sports. If you don't practice and you don't play, you don't get a check. You know, basketball, baseball, those contracts are guaranteed. Football, I mean, the average career is like 2-3 years. And they divide your check up into, you know, weeks. And you only get a little bit at a time based on how much you practice and how much you play. And then what you keep is only your signing bonus, which is why people argue so much about that upfront money, because, you know, most of these guys are playing for pennies and they get their big bonuses at the end of the season if they win or if they perform. So, I mean, you're putting your body in harm's way. You can go out there and get paralyzed or, you know, blow out a knee or whatever any and every day. You know, you play hurt, but, you know, making the money is a little bit harder in football. So, you know, I prepared by going to Dartmouth College and, you know, in the event that I did get an injury. You know, that was the advice. That's what I was advised to do by Red Auerbach, who's like a family member. My father played for the Celtics from 69 to 81. You know, was a 4-time All-Star. And so, you know, I had gone the Ivy League route just in case that had happened, because scouts are so savvy these days. They find you anywhere, and they did find me. Got signed, and then that actually had happened. It was like, you know, I flashed back to those days sitting there with Red Auerbach saying, you know, do this, do that, and I had taken his advice, and I was like, wow, what if I hadn't? So, you know, that's what's really kind of motivated and inspired me to get so deep into philanthropy, to make sure kids know that, you know, you might have all the talent in the world, but nothing's as valuable as your degree, because even if you are a professional athlete or an actor or a musician, you make more money by having that degree, and you see that with people like Michael Jordan and Shaq and everybody going back and getting their degrees, because they can sign more endorsement contracts, they can do more things like that that, you know, open more doors for them than just being, you know, incredible at their sport. Because even a long career for Shaq, what is he like, you know, 12, 13, maybe 13 years in? He's got maybe another two. That's only 15 years, you know, of a, you know, 80, 90, 100-year life. So if you have that education, you can keep money. You can keep making money and creating opportunities long after your playing days, your acting days, your singing days are over. So that's what, you know, I'm hoping that these kids, you know, get, because it's always helped me and always been the one thing that I could count on and that nobody could take away from me. They can never take away that degree or that education once I got it. I mean, they can take away jobs, they can take away certain opportunities, but the education will allow you to recreate them in other fields. So that's what's up.
Brian, this show does not deal with business or business 101 or interpreted area. This only didn't. I'm joking with you. But those are good words of wisdom, man. I appreciate that. You know, my listeners know, man. They can, you know, take heed to that. You know, and you know, it's always, you know, always good to have a backup plan, no matter what you're doing.
That's
it's
it.
It's good to have a backup plan. Brian, if you don't mind, I want to bring in my co-host, and she has a few questions, but she's a huge fan of yours, and let me tell you, she thought you did a great job, and I could do that all by myself.
I appreciate
that. Which is in theaters now. But, Miss Nubian?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Fine.
I'm good. So I want to ask you, Brian, was that role in I Can Do That All By Myself, was it quite challenging?
I mean, all roles are challenging. I mean, you know, as an actor, I try to find disparate roles from the real me, you know, just as far away from Brian as I can get. And in real life, I have 5 younger sisters. I was raised by my single mother. You know, my parents have been divorced since I was a young kid. I'm close with both parents, but my role models, my influences, my mentors in life have primarily been, you know, women, my mother, my grandmothers, you know, and then several coaches and uncles and guidance counselors and stuff like that, as well as my father. But I am about as far away from Randy as a person can get. So, you know, this was a real opportunity, and yeah, it was a big challenge for me because I had to empty out all those qualities that I have as a person and figure out where to start with Randy, because he's a guy that hates himself. And when you hate yourself, obviously you can't have any love for other people. So, I mean, you start there, and, you know, that self-loathing as a character starts to fester inside of you, and that's kind of where you start. And then it was mostly about listening to Tyler Perry, listening to direction and instruction, because it's his story to tell, and, you know, I'm just a conduit to help him do that and make sure, you know, that we're telling Taraji's journey, you know, because she's a strong woman who's been hurt and damaged. And, you know, what I say about the movie is she's like this beautiful flower that's starved of sunshine, sitting in the shade, you know, blocked from the sunshine, and Randy's like that cloud that's over her. And all you got to really do is get the clouds to move out of the way, and then the flower can grow again and bloom and blossom. And so looking at it for that, from that perspective, it was my job to figure out, how do you choke the life out of her spirit? You know, how do you keep her down as a character so that when these kids come, they're like a mirror being held up to her face, and she actually is forced to look at and evaluate what has become of her life, what choices she made, and decide for herself if she's going to make some different choices. So, you know, it was very challenging. In a lot of ways, it was very humbling. You know, it's tough to be the bad guy in a good guy movie. You know, most of these characters were good people, and Randy was the one really bad one. And, you know, but having five sisters and my mom, you know, rooting me on, it was all about the message. And, you know,
yeah.
Randy gets his butt whipped, and that was what I wanted. I wanted to show that there were consequences and repercussions for wrong actions. You know, we're lucky, or Randy's lucky he didn't end up dead or behind bars, you know, and all he did was get shocked a little bit and beat with a 2x4. Because if somebody tried to
wow.
do that to my sisters, there'd be a lot more going down than that. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to make sure the brothers out there know, you know, that ain't what's up. You know, and it might not be
right.
Sandino. It might be me coming through the door if they're trying to do that stuff to, you know, some woman that I know. And for the sisters out there to understand, don't allow anybody to hold you down. You can do that all by yourself. The point of being with another person is to have them add value in your life. So don't settle for second best.
Right. About the role in the movie, I Can Do Better All Myself. Of course, you know, Gladys Knight was in this movie, a part of this project. You know, did you have the opportunity to meet her? And
I have a.
What was chemistry like? You know, this is Gladys Knight. You know, and you know she's a part of this project. You know, you're talking about a person who's been around for, you know, decades.
Mm-hmm. She's humble. I mean, across the board, Marvin, Mary, Gladys, they are humble, genuine, real people. Like, to sit at the table with them would be like sitting at a table with you and me talking. You know what I mean? They don't come with ego. They don't come with attitude. They don't come with entourage. You know, unless they're going to do a show, they're just real salt-of-the-earth people, which is what translates in their music, you know. And you can see it on the screen. You can feel their spirit because that's what they lead with. They don't lead with, I'm Gladys Knight. They don't lead with, I'm Mary J. Blige. They don't lead with, I'm Pastor Winans. They lead with, I'm a human being just like you, and I have a story to tell, a message to relay. I have something I'm trying to say to you. And, I mean, Gladys has one of the biggest hearts of any person I've ever met. And I'm blessed to say that the three of them are attending my charity event because they're all philanthropic-minded people trying to leave the world a better place than when they came into it. So I'm doing this event called Helping Hands in St. Thomas this coming July. People can get information at helpinghandscelebrityweekend.org. But Gladys signed on right away, and so did Mary, to come and, you know, hang out and support my vision because they're such genuine people and because they care. But, you know, just to answer your question, it was, I mean, the first time I met Mary and Gladys, my jaw hit the floor. You know, I'm a fan.
Right.
Their music was part of the soundtrack to my childhood, to my life. And, you know, with Mary, it was funny because I think she had to actually help me get my jaw off the floor and get my mouth closed to even be able to say hello, you know, to her. And it was the same with Gladys. So, I mean, they were just really cool and, you know, humble. And they came to play. They didn't come as musicians or singers. They came as actors and place themselves and their trust in Tyler Perry and let him direct them so that they could be the vessel to relay this message. And, you know, what I've seen, I snuck into a theater, you know, people are really feeling the music. You know, there's people at a lot of theaters, people are clapping after the musical performances because it's like going to a concert. And that's because they were pouring out their soul because they really wanted these young women to to get the message. I'm over it now. That's the Gladys song in the movie, and the Pastor Winans song, and that's a very touching moment, and, you know, that's because it's in their spirit. It lives in their conscience, and they really want people to get it, and so it was a blessing to be able to work with them.
Yes, it was. I had Marvin's son here on the show not long ago. It was a privilege to meet him and Vicky, you know, part of the Winans family, so, you know, an honor to them. You're doing so. Your charity event that you just spoke on with Gladys and Mary Sarno, where is this going to take place at?
Well, basically, the Helping Hands Celebrity Weekend. Again, it's helpinghandscelebrityweekend.org. It's taking place in St. Thomas, July 21st through the 25th, 2010. And what it is I've taken events. So we've got celebrity poker, we've got deep sea fishing, we've got golf, and we've got a celebrity basketball game. And so we invite charities out, or celebrities out, or corporate sponsors out that have their own foundation. And that's how it's different than other events that are all for, like, the host foundation. If you have a foundation, I invite you out, and we give you money, and you get we buy you in, and you compete in a series of events against other celebs and corporate folks. And then whoever wins the pot takes it home for their charity. Or they can let it ride on more events and try to win more money. So it's a fun, competitive weekend. And when we're not competing, we're out doing community outreach. We're having an auction and gala to raise more money for foundations. We're trying to help save the Boys and Girls Clubs over there. So it's a big four-day destination event that we're going to broadcast and stream live so that the radios, the blog networks, the television stations are all broadcasting the event so people can join in. And we're doing this Give Five sweepstakes where anybody that can hear my voice can log on to our website, helpinghandscelebrityweekend.com, and just for $5, win a chance to join us on the island to rub elbows with their favorite celebrities. You know, they might be my fan, they might be Mary's fan, they might be Gladys Knight's fan, they might be a Tyler Perry or a Taraji Henson fan, they might like John Cena, Columbus Short, all people that are coming out to the event, and many, many more. and so they can participate by, you know, being on the ground with us or watching online or just donating for the charitable cause. And we're really trying to make a difference in a million young people's lives over the next 11 months, 10 months now leading up to the event. And, you know, it's a cause that's near and dear to my heart. My foundation's called Warm to Kids. The acronym stands for We're All Role Models to Kids. Warmfoundation.org is the website. But, you know, that's what I'm all about. Like I said, I have five younger sisters, so I'm a de facto role model. So I kind of, this is a cause that's near and dear to my heart, and I wanted to expand the opportunity to my friends to make a difference.
Right. Good. So I was reading here about some of the other charity work that you did, and I commend you on that. You know, I've done this past year for the American Talent Association, which shows the music and entertainment and communications. You know, I went down and performed, and I raised over $80,000.
Wow.
For this organization. So, you know, yeah, man, I do the same thing each and every day. When they call me, I just come. You know, I love entertainment, and I try to put more to, you know, this music education means so much to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it equals brain power, as they say, you know what I mean? So I commend it so much, you know, with that. So, you know.
Well, that's a solution to your help. Get you over there with your foundation, raising money for your foundation. Like I said, anybody that has a foundation, you know, we can discuss getting you guys over there to benefit, to rub elbows, and make sure we got – the big thing about an event like this is you get the sizzle of celebrity involvement, but the steak is really the substance of the foundation. So if we can create a lot of sizzle around that steak, we get more media, we can affect and touch more people, and we can change more lives. So that's what I was trying to do. Rather than just hosting my own event here in L.A., move it to a nice exotic location, bring in, you know, 30 to 50 A-list celebrities, musicians, and athletes, and leverage the power of that collective celebrity and shine a positive light on all these good things that people are doing. So, I extend the invite, and you can find out more information on the website, helpinghandcelebrityweekend.org, and we'd love to have you, even if it's just a broadcast.
No problem. I'll look into that. But I want to ask you, you being the only boy, being brought up in a household, were you treated any differently? Were you spoiled? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the protector. You know, of course, I definitely was spoiled rotten. By my baby sister, still am. And have a very close relationship with all five. But I think the biggest benefit of being the only boy in a house full of women is you're forced to learn how to use your words. You're forced to learn how to communicate because, you know, by and large, a lot of men are more nonverbal. I was an athlete, so I, you know, tend to show my feelings and emotions and everything with action rather than with words, and that doesn't necessarily, or didn't for me, work so well in the household. And I think that led to another initiative, you know, my interest in doing another initiative that I'm doing currently with Forrest Whitaker's wife through my foundation called Words Matter, which is it's open now. It's called wordsmatternow.org. People can go to that site, and it's a philanthropic contest. It's an essay contest. You're an artist. You said you're into music. Basically, you know, we're all out here twitting and tweetering and texting and shorthanding, and a lot of these kids are not learning how to use the written word as effectively as they should. You know, people can speak well, but they can't write well anymore. And as artists, you need to be able to. We got people like, you know, that show us every day, people like Neo and Mariah Carey or Prince. If you write in the lyrics, if you're writing the songs, you're going to do far better in that career than the people that are waiting around for songs to be written for them. Same thing in acting. Right. I write scripts. I write business plans, and it's helped me in my career move faster than it would have if I was just waiting for somebody to call me on the phone and say, come to work. And so we've created this contest where we'll produce songwriters' songs if we like their lyrics. We'll produce their movie if we like their script. You know, we'll make a choreography demo for a choreographer that can relay their ideas and vision about their treatment in writing to us. So people can find out about that in wordsmatternow.org. But I learned those skills, and I became interested in that by being raised in a house with six women, because I had to learn how to speak, or else I was going to have to lock myself in the room with all those hormones, you know?
I get that. Listen, do you have another question for Brian?
I just want a question / comment, because I heard Tyler on a radio station, and he was talking about this movie right here. He believes is the best one that he's done so far. Looking at all of the movies that he's done, how do you feel about this one in comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I've been saying it since we wrapped, and I mean, it's Tyler's only been in the game for 7 years. I mean, I think that's the thing we need to look at when he's competing against these prolific producers that have been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years. You know, and he's not only producing, he's writing, directing, and starring in two characters. And while he's doing that, he's at lunchtime. We shot this entire movie in 21 days. You do some research, that just doesn't happen. It doesn't, not for an independent film, not even, and never for a studio film. And it's, you know, it's his money. He owns the film. He is the voice. He doesn't need to go do all this market research and analysis that studios do to figure out how we're going to sell this movie. You know, he's anointed in that way where he's directly connected with his core audience. And, you know, it's his opinion about what they need to receive as far as messages. He's looking within his own community, the people that he's, you know, the faces that he's seen growing up, you know, when he was struggling. And basically giving us the blessing, or sharing us the blessing of his wisdom that's coming from, you know, somewhere else, obviously, because I don't think, you know, any human being just going within themselves can create the magic that Tyler's creating. And each time out, he's learning to become a better filmmaker, a better director, a better writer. He's refining and honing his process. And, I mean, he's just a master at it right now. He was able to do not only this movie, but also shoot the TV series at the same time and prep Why Did I Get Married 2 all simultaneously. And, I mean, I was just blown away. And he never loses his temper. He never seems stressed. He never seems tired. He's always got a kind word, a supportive word, the right direction, a big smile, and a joke. He kept the set laughing, and he is – I got to switch phones on you. Hold on 1 second. He's truly an inspiration, because there's nobody that's doing it better right now. Hello?
You're good, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always said that about Tyler, because it's like – he is so genuine. Anybody who can actually shoot a movie in 21 days,
mm-hmm.
as well as doing other things, he just has a great agenda. He wants to get it done, and he knows how to get it done. So I figured that was going to be my next question. How long did it take you guys to do this? Because knowing Tyler, I thought it would take only like 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks would be a little rough now. I don't think the cast
I think
ever
he could
be
do
able
it.
To go to. Yeah, he could probably do it if the cast didn't sleep, because I don't think he sleeps. So I mean, literally, I think he sleeps with his eyes open, because I mean, you know, you get tired on a set. Sometimes it's 18-hour days. You're expending all this emotional energy and stuff. And Tyler, as an actor, is doing the same. So he's walking in our shoes and the director's shoes and the writer's shoes and the producer's shoes. And there's no – he never passes the buck. If something goes wrong, it's on him. And it's amazing because I've never worked with somebody that's taken on that much responsibility and never made a misstep, you know. And, you know, about his – about the – you know, to speak directly to the question about it being the film – I think this is the film that is most like his stage plays, even though it's not like the stage play that it's based on. You know, you go to his show, and there's that kinetic energy. The music leaps off the stage, and it enters your heart and your soul right away. It hits you in the belly. That's what he was able to recreate in this movie. People, he didn't send Mary and Gladys and Taraji and Pastor Winans to the studio and say, record the songs and now lip sync. He had a church service. He let Pastor Winans write his sermon, you know, himself, and then filmed it. And filmed him and Gladys singing it live. You know, two takes with five cameras, and that was it. Let's move on. But that allows him to get that raw feeling and emotion, like similar to what we were able to do in Stomp the Yard. Not a lot of it was choreographed. We were able to go out there and battle, and you got real, you know, professional choreographers and dancers fighting. You know, we didn't want to lose. And so you end up recreating that kind of kinetic energy and that kind of magic, that lightning in a jar, in the scenes, and I Can Do Bad with the music. And, you know, it was just a blessing to see that process and to be a part of it. And it's inspired me moving forward to try it, you know, myself. So, you know, it's a real blessing.
That's truly amazing, you know, to be a part of it. And you've also got another project coming up with TNT with Ray Romano, you know, a drama series called Men of a Certain Age.
Yeah.
What is that? Briefly, you know, I know you got something else coming up in a few minutes that you're supposed to be attending. But if you can quickly, this show of
Men of a Certain Age. Men of a Certain Age is a 1 hour. The new word is dramedy. So it's like you know, like I Can Do Bad. It'll make you laugh and it'll make you cry. It's Ray Romano's new one. He's the producer. He's the writer, and he's also one of the stars. It's Ray, Andre Brower, Scott Bakula. Folks know him from Quantum Leap, and then the new Informant with Matt Damon. He's the one with opposite Matt in all the trailers, and myself. And it's kind of like a Sex and the City for men, you know, if you will. It's basically these three, you know, close to 50-something guys reaching their midlife and trying to figure out, you know, how their lives are changing and how to adjust to those changes. And one second. And how to adjust to those changes. And, you know, I am the young gun, you know, and I end up being Andre's boss. And I don't want to say nemesis, but there's a lot of competition between us when his father hires me to be his boss because, you know, he wants the young gun in there that's bringing in all the customers. And these guys are kind of getting passed by and in their midlife, and it's a reflection or an exploration, character study on, you know, what midlife is like in a funny but real way, you know, and all the best comedies based on real sadness and sorrow. So that's what Ray's created here, and it's a blessing to be a part of it. Because again, like Tyler, Ray is a prolific, you know, writer, director, and obviously one of the biggest TV stars ever. So I'm learning a ton from him. He's a great guy to work for and be around, and you know, very similar in personality to Tyler in that they can stay calm and stress free. And handle the world on their shoulders all at the same time because everybody wants to get at those two, and you know, the buck stops with them. They make no excuses, and all the success that they have is due to the hard work that they're willing to take upon themselves. And so I'm learning a ton, and I'm blessed to be a part of it. It premieres Tuesday, December 8th at 10 p.m. It airs on TNT, and it'll be on at 10 p.m. on Tuesdays, every Tuesday thereafter.
Brian. Before I let you go, I know you were late for other things, but you want to give your shout-out, so you want to, you know, acknowledge anyone?
You know, just a shout-out to all the people helping me with Helping Hands, all my celebs that are attending and supporting me, all you folks out there that are giving five for our sweepstakes. I hope that you win, and I get to see you out there on the beaches of St. Thomas in July. Make sure you visit our site, helpinghandscelebrityweekend.org. And for all you aspiring artists, you know, check out our website for Words Matter. It's wordsmatternow.org. We're in Massachusetts this year. We're going to expand nationwide next year, so check us out, see what we're all about. And then if people want to know more about me, you can always follow me. BrianWhiteOnline.com is my official website, and I just today joined Twitter. I'm at actor Brian White. So check me out, follow me. You'll get updates and information on the shows, on the movie roles, and especially on Helping Hands and Words Matter. And, you know, thanks for having me on, guys.
There's going to be one last one for Brian before he runs.
Good luck, man. You're doing good. Good luck.
I appreciate you.
Brian, I appreciate you so much, man. You know, keep on coming out about a show anytime that you see fit, man. If you need me to fight, if you need me for anything, you need me to turn anything, just let me know, man. I'll be there. You know, I'll broadcast on the station if you need to help promote anything, man, all right?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Brian, you be blessed, man.
All right, likewise. Talk soon.
Shout out to Brian White. Get that actor. Make sure that you come out in a new movie. I Can Do That All By Myself, featuring Tyler Perry, Gladys Knight, and so many other actors out there. I'm going to hedge up into some music. I was going to kick things off with Music Soul Child, I believe, entitled For the Night. And when I come back, I'm going to hopefully end the show. Got to run out. But nevertheless, here's Liz. We're going to jump into Music Soul Child after this particular track by Liz Laura.
Understanding that works so well for how we are. that you're always so cool and comfortable whenever I'm around. You're someone that I can talk to no matter what I'm going through. I call on you cause I know you'll always be down. See what we have is so incredible that we'll never find in anyone else. This thing that we share is so unbelievable that I want you all to myself.
Thank you.
gonna be you and I, babe. Brought you into my life, and so come into my world. Wanna be your boy, I want you to be my girl. The one that I love, I put above everything. Yeah, got me going out my head, got me thinking strange feelings. Got me, cause you're the only one that makes me feel this.
Yeah.